So I was a bit taken by surprise when I came here and was told that we were doing a panel and giving a talk on diversity and unity. Took me a bit by surprise. But it's interesting really because if I look here in this room, it represents diversity. I think that our Sangha is either the only one or one of the few Sanghas that has equal ordination of women. And that has happened because women actually took on the ordination process for themselves. And I know for me that I would have never have entered into Buddhism if it wasn't for the fact of having places like Tara-loka and Tiratna-loka where I could do all my training within a female context. That's changed now, but I was coming with certain conditions. So, this is diversity in the room. But anyway, I've scripted my talk. So when I came across the Sangha, I was so merged with all my identities that I fixed most people around me. I was so blinkered to diversity that all I could see was a story of the illusion I had created about the people at the London Buddhist Centre, and I painted the whole Sangha with the same brush. So I was separated from the moment I walked through the door. The irony is that my life has become more diverse since I've come across the Sangha, because my social community was a lesbian separatist community, which was predominantly black and white lesbians as my close-knit family. And it's interesting because, when I look in this room now and I think, how on earth did I open up to the Karuna Devis, the Varashuris, the Amalas, and the Ashokashuris? Because once upon a time, I would have fixed them with the label white, middle class, and racist, and would have believed my stories occurring in a moment. And maybe their lookalikes, some of them, were like this. But, the issue for me was that I had not given myself or them a chance. And when I did give them a chance, I reacted out of my fixed self-view, allowing their racism to stick to me like glue and sending me into another story that was not exactly true. I believed my stories and so related to some of the white women and white men in the Sangha who pressed my buttons on this basis, often polarizing and me becoming more of my fixed identities, and often them becoming more of their fixed identities. So I was so identified with my labels that all I could see was this white male dude of a rupa towering over me in the London Buddhist Centre shrine room. I couldn't even bow to it, but I allowed my individuality and authenticity to arise. If I was going to bow to this white male looking dude of a rupa, then I would bow to everyone else in the room. And that, for me, was my practice for a long while. And it did actually upset people in the Sangha, for those of us who did that, because we were changing etiquette. But, that was my way in. And I still enjoy bowing to the inner potential of others. And those of you who are familiar with Thich Nhat Hanh, bowing to others is actually a spiritual practice. So what changed? Actually, it was really neat, there are Americanism there, going on a retreat at Jikoji, because I had my hair in China bumps that year, and someone said, look, you've got the Buddha's hair. And there were pictures of the Buddha there that looked far more Asiatic and Negroid looking. But my first turning around happened perhaps 20 years ago, 3 years after meeting the Sangha. I went to an event for Bhante, and it was on my own. So I went on my own, away from my pack of women of colour friends that I did my retreats with. And I had this awakening moment. We were chanting the White Tara long life mantra for Bhante, and this energy arose in me. And how I remember it is that there was this flow of thought that unfolded without identification. It was something like, how great is this? All these peoples are reflections of Bhante. Oh, that includes me too. Oh, and India too. So then it was no longer about me. And in that moment, I knew that I could be part of this Sangha, no matter the isms that exist in the Sangha. Of course, if I had identified with the first thought, fixed it, I would have gone on the gravy train of, oh yeah, it's all white, blah, blah, blah. Soon after, I became a Mitra with my black mate Zenobi, but a while after, I became an individual in our group and asked for ordination. There were people like ex-Sandra and ex-Gabriella in the process, and order members like Mudita Sri Jayadevi, Paramachitta, and someone else who I can't remember who's now resigned, that were of African and Asian descent women. But, you know, there still aren't that much more now. But something in me began to surrender and open up to the transcendental myth of the three jewels, and not to the fixation of selves in others that I had created in my mind. It was, of course, challenging. There was racism and the publication of men, women and angels. But part of my path has been to see through the illusions of my black, female and queer selves that I had created in my head, which separated me from a diverse society out there in the world. It is a journey that continually brings me closer to insight, closer to the diversity of the order. What I mean by this is that I have not joined the order. There is no order to join. I have entered into the mythical realm that we label the order. If you look for the order, you will not find the order. All you will find is a collection of diverse individuals. When we enter the order, we get to unknow people. We think we know people, but all we know is our stories. Hopefully, at the point of effectively going for refuge, we will be aware of this, drop the stories, unknow people, and see the diversity of the order. Recognize the many individuals practicing in their unique and diverse ways, each bringing in their flavor to the spiritual community. I am just one person, and I have already begun to bring my diverse flavor. The first international convention in India happened because I had the energy and tenacity to sit Mahamati and others down and convince them that the order was ready for it, and this is how you go about doing it. And he will tell you that others in the past had requested it happened in India, but nobody had the drive to make it happen. 3 weeks ago, we had the first ever lesbian and gay retreat at the Women's Retreat Centre Tariloka that has been going for 30 years. Believe it or not, they've not had one. A couple of us had the courage to sit with a no for a whole year. We didn't tell anybody, we just sat with it. And a year later, we wrote back and requested they change their minds. And they did. Then there are friends of mine who have added their own taste of diversity. 12-step recovery meetings happen in the Sangha. In Mexico, I attended the first North American 12-step meeting at our North American convention and went to 3 12-step meetings while on the European gathering. Also, there is space for diversity of practice. Although practice can be a thorny issue in the order, there have been changes in my lifetime. Pure awareness was once controversial and now part of our practice. Chod practice has crept into the order, and order members were openly blowing their horns and banging their drums under a tree at our gathering this year at Wyndham. Buddhafield is another example of diversity. Vidyamala has used her practice of pain to change society's view of managing pain through her breathworks. Diversity is all around us. Diversity is often not visible, so don't be fooled. You would be pleasantly surprised who you may bump into in the order. I end with a quote from the late June Jordan. First you remember I am black, and second you forget I'm black. But even if you're unable to do this, what I can do is, first I remember you're white, and second I forget you're white. And then nothing you try to fix on me around race and culture can stick. True diversity is unknowing what we know. It is part of the path, the first fetta, anatta, non-self. See through this illusion and you will find diversity all around you, in the Sangha, and in the order.